This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Craig Hoffman.
For those of you that have listened to me for a long time, you know.
The Hoffman Show.
Making sense isn't always my specialty.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And, well, those of us that are here are not thrilled about how Thursday Night Football ended last night. It's Matt Essick in a very, very nice Alex Ovechkin jersey. That's a nice sweater, sir.
It's the start of the NHL season. I mean, given not for us, but NHL started. We already had the first game underway. The Jersey Devils came out with a big win over the Sabres. So, you know, we're not playing, but had to start the season off right.
I respect it. I got a jersey over here. I actually got the WNBA playoffs tonight. I got to put this on for game three of Liberty. I mean, both game threes are tonight, but need my Aces to get back going tonight. But no, I'm upset with last night because Anthony did submit his pick of the Falcons. I took the Bucks, and if the Bucks just, I don't know, late on Drake London for half a second instead of letting them spot the ball as fast as they spotted the ball in NFL history and get a spike off and then get a kickoff and go to overtime and then the Bucs lose. If they had just, you know, absolutely done anything to fudge up the end of the game, don't get a delay of game. Like, all you had to do was lay there for a little bit. All you have to do is accidentally, oh, sorry, I'm offsides. I'm in the way of the ref trying to spot the ball. Whoopsie daisies. Then you win. Instead, you give up a spike with 1 second to go, and old Hoffman's 0-1 on the week, while Haney's 1-0. So that feels great. I did just text Anthony to see if we can get the rest of his picks, and we will of course pick all of the games coming up at 5:30, which is fun. Matt, you who knows if you can just beat us on 1 week, you might be the champion for the season.
I like it.
You get small sample size. So we will see what happens with that coming up at 5:30. Also, take command preview coming up at 5:00. We'll take your calls on a finish Friday here on the Hoffman Show. Your predictions for Commanders Browns at 4:30. But let's get started hearing from Dan Quinn on a Friday. First of all, injury updates. Austin Ekeler back, good to go. That's good. Brian Robinson looks like he's going to be good to go with the knee injury. Everything's tracking the right way. He tweeted a thumbs up, which is, you know, the most official notification that you could possibly get is an emoji and a tweet from the player themselves, because we're in 2024 and that's how that works. But Brian Robinson looks like he's good to go despite missing practice Wednesday and Thursday. And the problem for Washington is that is where some of the good news ends, or a lot of the good news ends. Cleveland Furl remains out, but the big one is Noah Brown is out this week as well with a groin injury. So the number two wide receiver for, I would say, much of the last couple weeks, snap-wise, although it hasn't been a huge discrepancy between he and you know, Olamide Zaccheaus and De'Ami Brown and Luke McCaffrey. But he is out, and he brings a very unique skill set to this team that they do not have otherwise. And remember, Jamison Crowder is out as well. So we'll see if who they call up on the practice squad or off the practice squad, if they call someone up off the practice squad, or do they do more three tight end type of stuff? Do they? I mean, it could do super wacky bits. You could do four tight ends. Remember, Colson Yankoff is typically active. They have four tight ends active on game day, and Yankoff's been a great special teams player for them, but hasn't played at all on offense. You just turn Ben Sinnott into a wide receiver essentially for the week, and get some of the big body stuff there. Because I think as much as they will miss Brown and his ability to run certain routes and be a big body and thus a big target for Jaden Daniels, he has also been a horse in the run game. His ability to just get out in front and clear a side is major. And he'll go dig out safeties and dig out linebackers, and he can do that stuff. And there's a lot of times where I'm watching the run game for Washington and who's popping into the frame where he's all of a sudden, you're like, it's a run play. And, you know, out of the corner, here comes Noah Brown driving someone across the screen out of what would have been a gap if the running back got out to the third level. So Noah Brown's presence is going to be missed. I think in that part, De'Ami Brown is a guy that I've kind of got circled as needs to have a big game. He's as close to Noah Brown as you probably have from a skill set standpoint. Super strong, great blocker, good vertical speed. You know, he's obviously bigger than Zaccheaus. But I also think the other thing that's really important is these pieces are interchangeable on some level. And we saw last week that Zaccheaus got a lot of Austin Ekeler adjacent touches. So with Austin Ekeler back, now you can put Zaccheaus in some of those Noah Brown situations. And while they're different body types and different skill sets, this is what happens when you don't have a cough button, Matt, is you just have to pull yourself away from the microphone and eat it. So apologies for the sneezes in your ears. Zaccheaus is not going to have to take on some of the things that he took on with Ekeler in there. You can obviously use him more as a true wide receiver. You're not putting him in the backfield. You're not running him on orbit motions and things like that, because Ekeler will be the guy that gets those touches. So that is a significant injury. But I think the beauty of this Commanders team, and something that Dan Quinn talked about today, is they are forming a distinctive identity. And offensively, part of that identity is a toughness that is everyone at every position. There's also a multiplicity. And I know it's funny because this clip went absolutely nuts this week in Commanders Twitter, etc., of Dan Orlovsky doing a breakdown of all the different formations that the Commanders ran out of a single personnel grouping. The funny thing about the compilation is, and Dan admitted this on Twitter, he's like, there's a couple clips that got in here that shouldn't have been, because they weren't actually in 13 personnel for everything. But the point stands of the ability to do that, the ability to be super multiple, the ability to keep the same personnel grouping on the field and do different stuff. And that comes from you have guys that are willing to be tough in places that people, others at their position are not. You have wide receivers that will get out there and block. You have tight ends that will run in space and then ultimately block in space. You have running backs that will block for each other. And so that multiplicity has been big. The toughness has been big. And Dan Quinn today talked about the identity piece and how, you know, through this win streak, they've been able to find it, but they have to keep pushing to be the best version of themselves.
Yeah, I think the way I would describe it is that it's building. And part of that identity, John, I kind of referred to it a little bit in the earlier, the complementary football as well, to know what does that look like at practice? You know, what does that look like of the guys supporting one another to get the exact right look, knowing that, hey, this is, you know, the field position part of special teams, that the look has to be right, the way we cover kicks. Could be, you know, going through a blitz drill today, you know, to find the exact looks to nail it. And so identity, it's going to take a while. As we're in four games, we're starting to grow into that. And I like, you know, that it's, I knew it was going to take time. It's not something that's done overnight, but it has to be done again and again. And so it's grown, and it's not where we're going to be. And I, you know, would hope 2 months from now we can look back to say, yeah, it's grown significantly since then. But I like the toughness, the attitude that the guys are showing for sure.
It is refreshing to see a team that you just know is going to show up and ball out every single week, that you have in this team, in this personnel, in the way they coach it, that they are going to give themselves a chance time and time again, week after week, et cetera, et cetera. obviously the execution the last couple of weeks has also been fantastic, and that is something that comes from drilling it and putting yourself in the right situations and all those things that Dan just talked about. And I think that that is going to be a lot harder this week against Cleveland. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Browns, obviously, as the day goes on. We started previewing them yesterday. We got a great insight from Jonathan Peterlin at 5 o'clock yesterday. If you want to go back and check that podcast for Not My Beat, you'll hear from Logan and what he sees on tape for this Browns offense or this Browns defense coming up at 5 o'clock. But the baseline is, like, they're better than the teams that this team has played so far, and the closest one to them is Tampa, who beat them. Both talent-wise, you know, Tampa's got Vita Vea and Antoine Winfield they had at the time, who's obviously banged up right now, but he was out there, and you have a bunch of really solid players, and Cleveland's got Denzel Ward, a fantastic corner. He's got a couple times this year, but he's still really good. He's definitely the best guy they've got. Myles Garrett is arguably the best defensive player in the NFL, so there's just a different talent level, and thus the execution has to be much higher, which is why the little things are something that Dan Quinn and company continue to work on week over week over week. That skill work that, you know, obviously you have to keep doing, even if you're the professional level, because the demands are so high on it.
Yeah, I try not to get like the too high or too low based on the wins and losses. But the one obsessive part that I do want is us getting better. And like, that's the thing I would say we chase the hardest. There's skill work that goes in, and this will hopefully I can say it correctly, John. The skill, the better you get, like the stronger your confidence gets. And so, like, that's why we put this work in on the skills, because then now, like, I can really lean into that. I can really trust that and the routes. And so that's why, like, the timing and having guys, you know, at practice together, it was rightfully so. You guys asked, hey, is the communication going to be okay with the offensive line and people there? And, like, that was a legitimate concern because of all that goes into it. But to me, the skills, if we continue to work that also develops the confidence, you know, to play well. And so I love that you have to go and do it in tough environments, and because that's part of our game too. And so it does feel like, I don't know for you guys, but it's felt like we've been on the road for a long time. You know, we had a couple in the preseason and even to start the regular season. So for us to get a chance to be here and home with the fans, like, man, we're really pumped about it. But I wouldn't say I'd lean in too hard to a game.
That's the balance. You got to enjoy them. And obviously they do. I love the way Dan's been after wins. Those are fun videos to watch on social media, et cetera. But eventually it's like, all right, back to work. Tell the truth Monday, if you will. And then get back to work and get going the next week. And that steadiness is how you eventually get to do one gigantic celebration at the end of the year. Again, I'm not saying anything about this year. I'm not trying to predict what's going to happen in February or say that the Commanders are going to be there in New Orleans, but very simply that there is a process in place that is the right process here. And I think part of that is Dan and the people that he's brought in and the vision that they have and the way that they coach. But I also think you have to give a huge credit to the players and the leadership around this locker room, including, by the way, a very young quarterback who is very process oriented, hasn't changed, hasn't been like, oh, I'm rookie of the month. I guess I'll get in at 6 a.m. instead of 5:30. No. He's 5:30 every single day, because that's exactly who he is, and that will help him continue to win a lot more rookies of the month until he's not a rookie anymore. And then, you know, we'll talk about some different awards that he could potentially be winning on down the road. How do they match up, though, with the Cleveland Browns? What opportunities are there, and what risks are there for Washington? Plus, we always ask on Fridays, what's at stake in this game? We'll tackle all of that and then get your predictions on a finish Friday at 4:30. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Just something on a personal note that I wanted to mention real quick before we get back into the game. I meant to mention this yesterday as well, but I was talking to my mom the other day, and I am a child of the Carolinas, grew up in South Carolina, and she's obviously been talking to a lot of friends and knows a lot of more people down there. I haven't lived there in a long time, but she, if you watch the news, you know how desperate things are right now, thanks to Hurricane Helene. Just an incredible amount of devastation down there, an area of the country that just shouldn't be getting hit by that. I mean, obviously hurricanes have changed over the last bunch of years. They've gotten way more severe for reasons that we all understand. But thus they're dumping amounts of water and doing damage in a way that inland cities and towns are not prepared for, such as Asheville, North Carolina, a place I went a ton in my youth to visit. It is a beautiful place that is now devastated and is going to have to rebuild. So if you have the capability and the bandwidth to do so, the American Red Cross is doing great work down there, as many other organizations are. But it is, you know, after talking to my mom the other day, I was like, dang, I should probably mention that. And it's heartbreaking to see, but we can make a difference, and a lot of great people. And I also know that, like, hey, so, here in D.C., a lot of folks that work for the government, and I'm sure we have folks listening that they work for FEMA. So thank you for all that you're doing to try to help an area that has been absolutely crushed up and down the Eastern Seaboard, but especially there inland in the Carolinas, upstate South Carolina, and up into Northwest North Carolina. So if you have the ability to help, would mean a lot. A little bit goes a long way. Again, the Red Cross and more doing a lot of great work down there. I'm sure the NFL will also be advertising for that, if you will, over the weekend. But redcross.org is one place you can go, or just Google ways to help folks down there deal with that devastation. No easy transition out of that, just something that I wanted to mention in case anyone has been thinking about it. Let this be the push to let you go in that direction and do what you can. With that said, though, we do focus on the games and try to be a distraction as much as we can, because there's lots of stuff that's going on out there, and sometimes you just want to watch some football. So Browns, Commanders this weekend, and let's do this way. Let's go opportunity for Washington on offense, scary point for Washington on offense, and then do it for the defensive side of the ball first. To me, the biggest opportunity for Washington offensively is kind of twofold. And it really is just like Jaden Daniels making plays, which, if you're going, hey, wait, Jaden Daniels is going to have a chance to make plays based off the first month of the season, then you're probably pretty excited about that proposition, because he's made a lot of plays. But I think the deep ball chances are going to be there. This is, I think, in some ways going to be closer to Cincinnati in terms of the opportunities. And frankly, Tampa, like, there were opportunities, some of which he didn't throw. But now if he's seeing the field better, his ability to throw that deep ball for Terry to win one-on-one, let's see if Diami or Luke or someone else, Olamide, someone else can get vertically down the field besides just Terry. But hey, if it's just Terry, but you complete two of them and you got two catches for 100 yards, like, that'd be sweet. Because Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator, blitzes as much as he does, he's going to play some man-to-man. And even if he plays less than he typically has, a guy that's got some zone pressures and things like that he can play, eventually he's just going to go, this is what I do. We're going cover zero, so no safety help over the top. If you're in man-to-man or you're blitzing, there's nobody else on the field, and everybody's in a one-on-one situation. And if that happens, then Jaden Daniels is going to have an opportunity to pick out his matchup, see who he thinks is going to win. And maybe it's not Terry, because I will say, like, Denzel Ward's really, really good. And Denzel on Terry, like, do I trust Terry to win that some? Yeah. Are there certain situations where I'm like, I'm going to throw to Terry because he's Terry? Down the field, vertical route, nine route. He's isolated in space, three by one, three receivers to one side. Terry's the one receiver to the other. Like, let's get him in space with no help. And there aren't a lot of corners in the league that are going to win that on any kind of regular basis. And it comes down to whether Jaden drops one in the bucket or not. But their other starting corner has been bad. I think it's Emerson. I'm forgetting the guy's name. He hasn't been good. And so if you can get, and this is where not having Noah Brown hurts. But if you have any of your other receivers that you like that matchup, then go ahead. Greg Newsome has had some completions on him this year. Malik Nabers got him. So, like, can you get Terry in the slot and get a one-on-one that way? Like, let's throw a box fade to Terry, or a slot fade to Terry, by getting him on their nickel corner. Like, there are ways to create matchups for Terry and for your other receivers that Jaden is going to have to hit. I think the other opportunities exist on some of these in-breaking routes, because generally speaking, the Browns coverage hasn't been particularly sticky so far this year. I'm not borrowing Joe Witt's verbiage that he wants his coverage to be stickier. They were sticky against Arizona. Just, you're right on the guy. And there's a little bit of separation in some of these situations for the Browns DBs. And so if Jaden Daniels can hit receivers on quick game stuff, slants especially, on time, on target, there could be a chance to catch and run. And, you know, we've kind of been waiting for the Terry McLaurin 60-yard gain on a slant for what feels like years. this could be the weekend that it happens. There is definitely opportunities for that. The scary point this weekend is this defense is probably going to be more complex than anything that Jaden has seen so far outside of Tampa. And obviously Tampa was a game where it was his first game. So how much of this was first game versus he just didn't see what was up and dropped his eyes and started running a lot. And so, you know, does he wind up not being as efficient as a passer, trying to run, can't get out? Miles Garrett's chasing you. That's not as easy to escape as if, I don't know, anyone else in the league is chasing you that's not Micah Parsons, let's say, as an edge player. So there is definitely a possibility that Jaden is more confused as the offense comes to a halt this weekend. I will say, if you want another opportunity, like they haven't been particularly great against the run, but if they can figure that out and become one-dimensional and all of a sudden Jaden's in some bad down and distances, that is not a good place to be against a Jim Schwartz defense. Opportunities for the Washington Commanders defense against this Cleveland Browns offense. I think that there's an opportunity to get some fumbles, to like strip sack Deshaun Watson, or maybe even if he gets out and he's out in space running, like Quan Martin, Frankie Louvu, Jeremy Chinn, Percy Butler, these big hitters that Washington has that rock guys in the open field. Deshaun Watson's real loose with the football. And obviously, there's a chance to get interceptions on him. His three this year, like, they're not him throwing straight to guys. There's some tip balls, and, you know, Amari Cooper's had some balls pop off his chest, and you got some weird ones. But, you know, obviously, he's only seeing the field so well. He has a big windup. Like, there's a chance to jump some routes. But I think the bigger opportunity from a turnover standpoint is to hit him in the open field and watch the ball pop out, because he carries it really, really, really loose. And if I'm Joe Witt, I would have made a reel of Deshaun Watson running and Deshaun Watson moving in the pocket and said, please hit him as hard as possible, because he cannot carry the ball like this and expect us to not knock it out. That is not who we are. This is who he is. Let's make that our advantage. I also think there's an opportunity to get the run defense even better. Cleveland has not been dynamic in the run game at all this year, and it sounds crazy because Cleveland for years has been one of the best rushing teams, but, you know, Bill Callahan is long gone out of that Cleveland offense. Kevin Stefanski does not want to run the football, and they do not have a very dynamic run game. And so, chance to get the run game on track, chance to get your pass rush on track, frankly, because the threat of the run is not there, and they drop Watson back and True drop back a lot. A lot of empty, a lot of opportunities. So can the D-line get going? Obviously, the scary part is, what happens if you don't? What happens if you don't get the pressure? What happens if you don't stop the run, and all of a sudden you let them live in a place, this Cleveland offense being the they, you let them live in a down and distance that they have not all year. Second and manageable. Like, what does that look like? Do you see shots? Do you see, you know, because I do think, like, Amari Cooper on Benjamin St. Juice scares me a little bit. You know, Cooper is a fantastic route running technician, and that's the kind of receiver that honestly scares me more than just a freakish athlete against BSJ. Because you see last week, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a freakish athlete, but he doesn't have the route running savvy to set up BSJ the way that Jamar Chase does, and so the way that Chris Godwin, that Mike Evans do. So Amari Cooper is more in that caliber, but maybe lacks some of the eliteness of those other guys. But that does scare me a little bit. So if you give Watson time, if they're in better down and distances, if they can be more aggressive, that is where this offense could get back on track. And it really is, like, who's going to have the get right game? Is it going to be Cleveland's offense, or is it going to be the Washington defense, who obviously got more right against Arizona? But can they continue to take another step this week against Cleveland? I think the opportunity definitely exists. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, your calls, 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. It's a Finish Friday where we take your predictions on the game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's going to win and why? You tell us next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And we're taking your calls at 301-230-0980. It's 301-230-0980. Who do you think will win this weekend and why? It's our Finish Friday. We finish with your predictions. We will get our predictions in by the end of the show. And that will include Anthony Haney, who is currently 25 minutes from landing wherever he's flying to or back. I mean, maybe he's landing back here. I don't know. Maybe Anthony will show up. Who knows? But we'll get picks from him coming up later on in the show. All right, let's start with Ray and Frederick. Ray, it's Finish Friday, so who do you got this weekend?
Who's going to stop our offense is themselves. That's it. If they make the mistakes, they're going to lose. They're going to like not score points like how they did against the Giants. If they can continue what they've been doing, and you know, they're unstoppable. Nobody can stop this offense. I mean, Dan Orlovsky's video, yeah, it's like, same. It was, cut together. But just looking at that offense, it's unstoppable right now. This is going to be the second greatest show on turf again. Watch. And the only way they're going to be stopped is, you know, their own mistakes. Nobody can stop them. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ray. Here's what I'll say. Matt, currently don't know what I would do to stop this offense. I would probably, my best guess, if I was a defensive coordinator, would be to dedicate resources to stopping the run. I would play single high. I would play a lot of zone in that single high. So I'm playing a lot of cover three, a lot of cover one, manning up in certain situations. I'm making sure the defenders are in the box. I'm trying to get them to check out of runs into these screen passes and trying to make plays there. Although Commanders have hit a couple of those, but like, I'd rather have that than Brian Robinson running downhill into good numbers. And then on third down, if I can get them in a bad down and distance, which hasn't happened a lot, then I'm throwing crazy stuff at Jaden Daniels in the hopes that he can't see through it because he's still a rookie. That hasn't worked for anybody really yet. Teams have tried some varieties of things. Clearly, they don't think blitzing works because Tampa did it 42% of the time. Weeks 2 and 3, the Giants, Cincinnati did it 29% of the time each, and then 16% against Arizona. But they also didn't have Myles Garrett. And I would also be trying to get in situations where I can get Myles Garrett one-on-one. And I think this is the most important part. I'm also not an NFL defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I do not get paid like they do. I don't spend my entire life thinking about ways to stop Jaden Daniels. I spend my time talking about how great he's been so far because that's what I do. So on a baseline level, I know what teams are going to try to do. They're going to try to get pressure. They're going to try to be disciplined in the rush lanes. They're going to try to make it. I would play some level of man-to-man because I don't look at Washington's receiving core outside of Terry and be like, oh, those guys can beat man-to-man coverage. I am scared to play man-to-man because I don't want my back turned to the quarterback. And that's what happens in man-to-man. And then Jaden runs and nobody's paying attention. And then he picks up a ton of yardage. But the idea that they're just going to keep rolling like this and they're completely unstoppable and like that's just not how, like, the whole history of the NFL says eventually these things turn. Someone will figure something out, and then Cliff and company are going to have to adapt. And that's going to be the question, is like, when they face that adversity, how do they react on a human level, and how do they react on a schematic level? And I don't know that it's going to be this weekend, but I would say, like, again, I try not to tell people how to feel, but I would say, if you think that this offense is going to be this great forever, every piece of evidence that we have in NFL history says it's not, because this has been efficient in a way that nobody else has ever been, and that's not sustainable over 17 games. Even if there is no one else that comes up with something, they're going to make more of their own mistakes because they haven't yet.
And you want this to be good, but especially, you brought up Tampa Bay, that they had the highest blitzing percentage. What was the one team that the Commanders actually have lost to so far this season?
Tampa, who did blitz the hell out of them, and they got Vita Vea up front, so they were able to do some stuff in the run game, and like, yeah.
I'm not saying that that's a perfect response, because we still managed to score. It was a fairly big blowout, but it wasn't unheard of. There was still offense, so that doesn't necessarily completely stymie Jaden Daniels. But if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm looking at the past 4 weeks. The one week that seemed to work well enough to win is get people in his face, blitz, guard the run as best as you can, try and make him throw. And given we've seen progression for his throws at what he's looking at,
well, that's the thing, right?
It's looking.
Like, if you blitz him and you're counting on him dropping his eyes and running, and like, okay, we'll give up 80 yards, but they're not going to score that way. Well, he doesn't do that as much anymore.
No.
And I think that's the problem, is like, he has evolved so quickly week over week. I don't know what adjustments you make as a defensive coordinator. You almost have to anticipate him doing something that you have to make him do something that he hasn't yet. The problem is, he's done it 3 weeks in a row. So what happens when he gets to, like, when defenses force him to do something that he doesn't do well, or he just has a bad game because he's a human being? And I think that's the question that we still don't know yet. And hopefully it's one we don't get to, or we don't have to answer a lot, because hopefully they are really good for most of the year. And that would be sweet. But I don't know. Let's keep going with the predictions on the phones. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. On a Finish Friday, Little, we're finishing with predictions and reason why, who you got and why on Sunday.
What's up, Hoff? Shout out to Ice. Look, the defense going to show up, Hoff. That first game against Tampa Bay, the kid was a little nervous. Commanders put up a 40-burger Sunday. Watch what I tell you. God bless y'all. Stay up.
All right. Thanks, Little. I don't know there's much of a why there other than some predictions, but I guess we just have to trust Little.
Matt, 40-burger.
He said trust him.
That we're going to put up a 40-burger.
We don't need reasons. We just trust Little. Whatever he says. Okay.
Now, what I will say is, I know Little called in and said the very same thing to us earlier with Chris. What he did say is, if they do manage to pull a 40-burger, he's going to bring burgers for the entire station.
Well, that changes everything.
Oh, yeah. Now, all of a sudden, you want that 40-burger.
I did not want it. I just wanted more. Of course I would like a 40-burger. I would like to go to sleep with the band playing in my head on Sunday night. I want to be so sick of that song, whatever version people want to sing. I want to be sick of the band by Sunday night. That would be sweet.
You know, it's a good day when you wake up Monday morning and you still have the fight song playing in your head that you're just...
That was actually what instrument was that?
My mouth?
No, I...
Well, it's supposed to be a trumpet.
That's what I was going for. I believe it or not, Matt, I can see you, and I forget
that there is the video portion of this. I'm so used to Theater of Mind's Eye with Chris that...
Yeah, but does he not look... I mean, of all people, you know, like, I realize that there's people watching the show that could also see you, but he could see you.
So...
Does he not look at you during the show? Does he not pay attention?
He does, but he isn't always sure if I play something off the computer or if I just did it myself.
Oh, okay. So, that's, I guess, kind of fair. Punk, you do that again? That was a nice party trick. You know, okay, it's not a trumpet. Matt, do you know what instrument that is?
What is it?
It's a kazoo.
Don't do me dirty like that.
I'm not. That's what
You're
it sounds
right.
like.
It is a kazoo.
It's. I mean, if you want it to be trumpet, there's going to have to be a little bit more. There's going to have to be a little more depth
bass.
To it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little more bass. A little more depth. But that one more time. That's a kazoo.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a really good kazoo.
I'll take
it. Which honestly, like, I can't do that. If I would have been like, bah, 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 like, I would just bah, bah, bah it. And which people were like, what instrument is that? It's like your mouth and bad singing. Got it.
I know that my chorus and madrigals teacher is going to be like, oh, yeah, all that time that I tried to teach him how to do that paid off.
Yeah. I mean, whoever taught you how to do that. Plus whatever God-given ability you were, I mean, thank you, whatever deity it is that you believe in, Matt, for giving you the power to do the Commander's fight song on kazoo without a kazoo. Yeah, with your mouth. If we want to take more calls, we can, 301-230-0980. We can take more predictions, or you can make requests for songs for Matt to do with his mouth kazoo. Next on the Hoffman Show. WNBA playoffs continue tonight. The games switch in terms of the order. The Minnesota-Connecticut series will be first after the New York-Las Vegas series was the early game earlier in the week. 7:30 tonight, Minnesota takes on Connecticut in Connecticut. Series tied at 1. Then can the defending champs keep their hopes for a three-peat alive? Aces Liberty from Las Vegas, 9:30 tonight, with New York on the brink of eliminating Las Vegas. That is what's trending. I'm Craig Hoffman on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. I still think, Matt, your instrument sounded like a kazoo, but we did have someone in the YouTube chat say vuvuzela.
Oh, yeah, I could see that, too.
Yeah, I think the vuvuzela was a deeper tone.
Yeah, that was more...
Yeah. Yours was higher. Yeah,
that's how it works.
That's a kazoo. It's 100% a kazoo. Apropos of none of that, we're taking your calls on a Finnish Friday at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Who's going to win Washington versus Cleveland and why? That is the question for you. Let's go to Kenny in Charlotte. Kenny, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Who you got on this Finnish Friday?
Hey, listen, I definitely got Washington, and I'm definitely more confident than I've ever been, because just like I was telling everybody that I talked to this week, you know what I mean? Like the Patriots and the Chiefs, they were, you know, nervous like we are, and they were apprehensive in the beginning of greatness, you know, because it was a changing of the guard. But with the quarterback, you know, to being a generational quarterback, as well as, you know, if you're good, you're good. You know, that's just where I think we at, man. And I'm excited about the future.
Kenny, thanks for the call. I mean, I get it. And the thing is, am I like, yeah, they're definitely the start of a dynasty. Nope. Do I see how they could be? Yeah. But it's just, there's so much that has to go right for a team. There's so much that has to just click. And, you know, in 2012, like I'm sure I obviously wasn't here in 2012, but folks probably thought like that was the start of something big. I do feel like Robert and Jaden are two very, very different players. How they approach the game is different. Their skill sets are very different. The growth that you've already seen from Jaden, I think, is arguably more significant than any growth you saw throughout basically Robert's entire career. I don't say that to like dump on Robert. It's just like to draw the contrast of how that went sideways and how this seems to be good. Also, you have a coach and quarterback in lockstep. Now that could change. What happens if it does? Like, these are the things. And the thing is, like, I'm not afraid to say that out loud. I don't want to be a jinx, but like Dan Quinn is extremely emotionally intelligent, and Adam Peters is emotionally intelligent, and Jaden Daniels is emotionally intelligent. And you have people that are not stuck in their ways or hard headed or out to prove anything individually. They just want to win. Like, they know that's how it comes out, or it comes about. And that's easy to continue to say when you're winning and like, oh, we're doing the right things. We're just trying to keep our head down. But what happens when you face that adversity? And that's what we still don't know. And I would love to not find out for any significant amount of time. The Chiefs have barely ever faced real adversity. They've had their own versions of it, and they've always responded. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick always responded. They didn't really have a bad year. I mean, even the year Brady got hurt, they wound up going like 11-5 or whatever it was with Matt Cassel. So it's the kind of thing where, you know, if you do it right, if you build it right, and if you have good coaching and all, you know, enough infrastructure and just kind of the way to do things along the way, you might not have to find out some of this stuff. But we're also, you know, four games in. I don't want to put the cart too far before the horse. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Lap on this Finish Friday. Lap, what up?
Hey, what's up, Craig? Hey, shout out to Matty Ice, man. I think we're going to score minimum probably 28, man. I don't really see too many people stopping our offense. They should have a good defense. I don't think they'll be able to keep up with us offensively, man. And I've been so pumped with Jaden, you know what I'm saying, before the draft, and that's who I really wanted, man. So just to see him showcase his ability and the team rally around him, you know what I'm saying? You the one that sold me on Dan Quinn. I really wasn't, you know, big on him, but I liked the Kingsbury, so I was pulling for that, you know, that combination of coaching. So it's exciting, man. I don't know if you got to talk about it, but you probably did, I'm sure, you're a football fan. But what you think about Devontae Adams, man, you know, coming here, man? Wouldn't that be dope?
I mean, would it be dope? Yes. Would it be worth it? Probably not. That's the short version of the take. Lap, if you want the longer tape, you do know we have a podcast, right? So you don't have to miss the show,
yep.
Lap. So that's
yep,
what I'm going to say. So I would scroll back in the podcast feed, and we talked about it. If you want a really good, I think my favorite conversation that we had about it this week was with Clinton Yates earlier. I think it was Wednesday at 5:00. So definitely recommend checking that out. But appreciate the call, Lap. Thanks for checking in. I do think on the offense front, it is important to remember how, like, again, this is the best offense they've had in a long time. Long time. Very least 2017. So it's not like it's impossible for them to go out and score 30 again. But I do want to remind folks, this is the NFL and this thing is hard. And it's just a respect for the general talent in the league. They have not scored 30 twice in a row since 2017, weeks 10 and 11. So that's Jay calling plays for Kirk the year after Sean left. That's how long ago we're talking. So the idea that they're just going to go out and do it for a third straight week when they hadn't done it back-to-back weeks since 2017 seems far-fetched. And by the way, if you want to talk 40 burgers, the last time they did 38 back-to-back before the last 2 weeks was 1991. And I don't know how out of step that is with other offenses and other teams around the league that have had more success. Like, I don't know how many times a year the Chiefs do it. But like, there are years between 2017 and now that the Commanders only scored 30 points like one time. The funny thing about Bieniemy and the nightmare that was much of last year offensively is they actually scored 30 a couple times early. And it was by far like their most successful offense through X number of games, point production wise, they'd had in a long time. They scored 30 more last year, I think, than any other year between 2017 and now. And it might have even included 2017. I didn't go back once I finally did the research, which, of course, the PR staff sent out after the game. But I had done it myself during because I wanted to know. I wanted to have the tweet first. Because that's what careers are made off of, is you're doing your own research on Pro Football Reference. But I just went back to 2017 and found it. And, like, we're talking 2 to 3 times a year. And so if they score 30 again this year, period, like, that would be better than so many of the years that they've had. Nevertheless, a third time in a row. So, again, I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm not trying to pour, like, copious amounts of cold water. It's just actually saying it to appreciate what they've done. And that if they continue to do even more, like, we should be like, wow, this is very, very different than what we've had here. All right, last one. Let's get Mello in. Mello, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show on this Finish Friday. Who you got Sunday and why?
Yes, thank you for having me on. I got us, of course. I think we're going to be victorious this Sunday versus the Browns. We're improving every week. Points, defense, offense, everything is looking good all around the board. Hopefully our guys are healthy, B-Rob and Noah Brown. I know Noah Brown is out, but hopefully B-Rob, you know, is healthy and playing. Overall, I felt like Bill put up around, you know, 28 points. I don't know if we're going to hit that 30 mark, but close to it. The defense is gelling together. You know, the first week versus Tampa Bay, you know, these guys haven't played together, so they didn't have experience or anything like that. But versus the Bengals, versus Arizona, they look good on offense. Jaden Daniels calling audibles, running that high, up-tempo play calling. You know, had them on their heels for most of the game. They didn't know what to do. So I think we're going to do good, man. I'm optimistic.
Yeah, I hear you, Mello. Thanks for the call. We're obviously going to get our official picks in later, but, like, I came out of watching the Browns tape going, like, I think this team can have a big day. I then have to check myself and be like, okay, I see the best possible outcomes. How does it go badly? And there are ways that it does, and it starts with Myles Garrett being thoroughly able to dominate a game. And, you know, he's going to go against a rotation of left tackles again this weekend, it looks like. So what can he do to Cornelius Lucas and a rookie in Brandon Coleman? Does he switch sides some and line up against Andrew Wiley? If I was Cleveland in third and long situations or obvious passing situations, I'd absolutely put him against Andrew Wiley because I think Wiley has shown his value this year and his ability to get out and block in space and do a bunch of other stuff, you know, from an athletic standpoint and show why he is useful. But he still is like a very average to probably even slightly below average straight up pass blocker. But they've done a great job of keeping him out of those situations. And they do provide chip help, and they do all that kind of stuff. But I would, if I was Jim Schwartz, plan on trying to get one-on-one situations with either a rookie in Brandon Coleman, a guy who's a swing tackle in Cornelius Lucas for most of his career, or Andrew Wiley. And I feel good about any of those. So moving Myles Garrett around, I think, is going to be an interesting thing to subplot to watch. But in totality, I do think that the opportunities that exist for Washington, if they can just execute, again, not even the way they did last week, just 90% of it, they can put up some points. They can find the end zone. I think they can generate some big plays. I think they can get chunk yardage. And the re-addition of Eckler, I think, makes me feel even stronger about that. Although I will say, you know, I don't want to downplay the absence of Noah Brown. I think this offense has grown week over week, but the other thing we talk about with Tampa of, oh, they blitzed more. Oh, this, they hadn't played together. It's Jaden's first game. It's also the only game they didn't have Noah Brown. He was out that game. So what does that do for the offense? We'll find out on Sunday. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, more insight into the tape side of it. If you are Cliff Kingsbury, how do you attack a Jim Schwartz defense that is super aggressive? And do we think Schwartz will change any of who he is schematically to deal with Jaden Daniels and specifically the threat of him running? Those are the key questions we tackled on Take Command. We share the Browns defense versus Commanders offense preview with you next here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.